Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. I say abarigani to my old friends, and I say what's up to my new friends. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us in the Care to Read Room, and we have been on a journey talking about the indigenous religions and the indigenous people. What are the practices? What are the behaviors and the rituals? We have been talking about those indigenous Africans who are indigenous to this land. We've also been talking about alleviating ourselves from the name of black and looking at just becoming indigenous. Now, we had a heated discussion yesterday after hours. You probably wouldn't have been present at that discussion. However, there was a brother speaking, Brother Uma Johnson, speaking very, very strong about the conditions of our state and our country, and the conditions of Ferguson, Missouri. And I listened to the show on YouTube where he had callers calling in, and he was very concerned about our President Obama and his position and as to whether or not we should consider voting for him. Now, I want to make a phone call in to Brother Uma Johnson, which I do plan to make. I think that we have a little bit more time now. We do not need to speak impromptu, in hasty decision-making. We can go to the drawing board and go with our pen and pad and make some collective decisions so that we are on the mark and that we don't miss the mark this time. Now, this is a serious business. We're talking about police departments that are gearing up, getting all of their forces together, preparing at the drop of a hat. If anything looks unusual, they're ready to zoom in on our communities. Now, right there in Ferguson, they pulled off the state policeman, I understand, and now they're putting the county policemen on it. So we got a situation here that's going on in our community where at any time it could pop off. So we don't want to make the wrong move. And I want to tell Brother Uma, I am all for standing up and being accounted and being the hero that we should be. But we certainly cannot make any indictments on our president until we give him a fair chance to sit down at the round table with us and let him give us his viewpoint, because we don't know what's going on the other side of the world. We don't know if Obama is being held up hostage in his own home. We don't know if his children have been indicted or his wife is walking around not knowing when the time bomb is going to go off on her. We don't know any of that. Now, after all, we have to remember, we put Obama in office, and we got him there through our vote. And we certainly can use our vote to remove him, but we don't want to be so quick to remove the brother until we have a sound discussion with them and have a meeting of the mind. So my suggestion to Brother Uma, and I hope Brother Uma calls me today, and I love to speak with him. I love that brother for what he's doing. He's our black psychiatrist, and he's doing great things for our black boys, and I know everybody's going to support him and follow him. But we have to slow things down, Brother Uma. We can't go indicting the president without just cause, and we have definitely got to take our million man and go to the table and ask for our president to give us and entertain us as we solicited for his approval to meet with him so we can have a meeting of the mind and we'll know exactly what's going on and hear it from the horse's mouth. Now, I know I stuck out there and I supported Obama and I still support Obama. I'm not one of those persons that as soon as I hear something bad about you, I'm ready to shut down all communication and you're no longer my friend. I am of the mindset Obama was once our friend, and when you have a friend, you go to them in order and decency and give them a chance to speak on their own behalf. And that's where I'm going to leave it. But I did decide that I was canceling all discussions on Indigenous people today to address this issue, and I'm going to put my priestess hat on today, and I'm going to do a reading for the nation. That's right, a reading for the nation, and I will do personal readings for those people who would like one, and it's only so often that I do this, but I think it's needed because we need some directions, and we need to hear from the spirits today, and we need to get those directions fast. Now, let me say hello to my guests that are in the room here and see who's here with us today. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. Caller number 219-613, hello. Who am I speaking to?
Hi. You're speaking
Hi.
With Michelle Brown.
Hello, Michelle Brown, and thank you so much for calling in. Now, we're going to be doing readings shortly, Michelle, and if you'd like a personal reading done, all you need to do is let me know, and I'll come back to you. Would you like a personal reading done this evening?
However is easier for the format of the show, however, you know.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, we'll come back to you and do a reading for you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Caller number 219-877, who's calling, please?
This is Nordine.
Good evening, Nordine. How are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well. What about you?
I'm just fine, and we're going to be discussing the topic of our President Obama. We've deviated a little bit from our discussion to address this much-needed topic. We hope that you can give us some input on your viewpoints on it. And we're also going to be doing readings this evening. So if you'd like a reading, let us know. But we're going to start this show off right by welcoming everyone. And let me go over and take a station identification. We'll meet you back in the air, Nordine. Hold tight.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for station identification break. We're going to bring on Adar. Hold tight, and we'll be back in the air. Welcome back, family, and thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And we have a special feature topic this evening, which we have deviated today from the Indigenous topic. We're bringing this topic to you because it's an urgency to have a discussion, a roundtable discussion about the situation of our present climate against the Black African Americans in the various cities that are in an uproar. Right now, I understand that they have called off all the state policemen in Ferguson, and they're bringing county policemen out who actually have a stronger regime and who actually have a more professional team of fighters. And we're concerned because we have war raised upon us, and we didn't even know we were in war. However, we must discuss it, and we must talk about it. And first of all, we must give our president a chance to speak. Now, this particular conversation is being directed to our president as well as Brother Umar Johnson. Brother Umar Johnson feels that we should not support President Obama any longer. And I feel contrary to that. I feel that before we make any hasty decision, we must go to the brother and give him a chance to appeal and to rightfully appeal the indictments that might be upon him. I know he has a lot to do, but he must remember, black people are getting killed every day, I understand, weekly in their communities. And some of these stories are not even being reported. However, nevertheless, our president has got to be concerned, and he has definitely got to make a move to change some things. Now, just getting an indictment and going to court does not necessarily mean that we are going to have a verdict that will appeal to us of guilty. Now, that hasn't taken place yet, but I understand that they are slowly assimilating, trying to get that jury together, and I understand that Michael Brown's parents have solidified representation already. I don't want to appear to have all the knowledge because I don't have all the facts. I don't know anything about their representative, and I don't have all the details, but I understand that there will be a trial, and I hope and trust that everyone stays closely and watch this particular trial to see if everything has been done properly by the DA and that the cross-examination is done to the satisfaction of the community. Now, this really should be a trial of his peers and not of those who are non-Melanite people. I don't know the process they're going to take, but we have got to put the pressure on. And all of you radio stations, you ought to be reporting on it and put off your other topics for a minute until we put the pressure on. Now, we're going to have to act collectively in what we're doing, because if we don't act collectively, then we will fall together. And that means that if they can take St. Louis, Missouri, and brutalize a brother who was standing there pleading for his life with his hands up, if they can shoot a man when he's down, and if they can come in the households of these men and women and drag them out under mistaken identity, then they can just about do anything they want. And we have to look at the fact that it will come to visit our household some kind of way. Now, I personally have experienced this with my sons, and I've seen what could possibly happen. And even with a representative, sometimes you're asked to take a plea bargain when you know you're not guilty. And sometimes you're asked to walk away after you've paid all your money to a representative who cannot get you justice. Now, what we're looking for is justice today. We know we cannot bring Tommy back, Tommy Brown back. We know we cannot bring Mr. Brown back. We cannot bring Michael back. He cannot come back from the dead in the physical realm. We know we cannot trade another life for life, but we can get vengeance based on the fact that this thing will stop and we cut it off at the root and it won't have a chance to grow and develop in our communities. And that's what we're looking at. Will this act of treason repeat itself in our community, and will it wreak havoc continuously in our community? Now, Brother Umar Johnson brought out some very good points. We have an arsenal, and we are not fighting up against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and high places. And our weapons are not carnal, through the pulling down of strongholds. So therefore, let's go to our arsonist today. And that's what I came here to talk to you about. I don't wrestle with flesh and blood anymore. I go down on my knees. And when I go down on my knees, all I do is ask God to have mercy on those who have been able to bring altercation to me. And we are spiritual people. We go to church every Sunday. We claim to know the Lord. But when a little something gets up on us, then we go to talking about, let me get my peace. Let me get my gun. The peace that you should have to surpass all understanding, and that should be with the Spirit. And that's where we should go in the spirit realm. Now, I'm going to go in the spirit realm today and put on my hat, my priestess hat, to do a reading for the nation. And as I do this reading, if those of you out there that will like readings for your personal family, this particular reading is through the Venda people in Africa. And the Venda people had a special way of doing their readings. And this is in Africa, the divinations based on symbols and links to natural forces, to those that rule the element, animals and human beings. The Venda people of Zimbabwe, to be exact, is where they're from. They used to use bones and wooden tablets that they used to determine the divination. They based all that on the calling up of the rain and the fire and the wind and the earth are all reflections to tell us what the mother, the father, and the daughter have to, and the son have to do with our life. So this is a reading that's in order that I'll be doing for the nation. Now, if you're out there, lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. You can call in and get your own personal reading for your family today. Now, you know Omi does not pull out her priestess hat too often, and our chat rooms will be open. So for those of you who would like to go in the chat room and would like to reach me by way of chat, you can just type in, Omi, I would like a reading, and let me know that you are interested in having your family reading done. Now, give me a minute here as I prepare for the vendor reading. I've done this one other time this year, and this is the second time that I have ever done the reading in the room. And I don't usually do the readings on the basis of charging people. This is not for a fee. I feel that where the spirits have freely given me the skill here in the room, I will offer it to you freely. Now, as I throw these particular cards up, the spirit will render to me what information that needs to come through to me for the nation, from the Father, from the Son, and from the daughter. Now, the Father represents the rain, the water, seeds, and the life force. The Mother represents fertile earth, the home, and protection. The Son represents fire, lightning, instincts, and passion. The daughter represents air, wind, disparal, charm. Now, as I throw these up, the spirit that I put on these, I'm asking for a solution for our nation to give us direction and guidance in our effort to find a better direction and a more humane way for our African Americans and the nation at large. You'll bear with me for one moment here. Seeing I got a reading for the daughter, only the daughter, and usually they come in pairs. Now, the reading for the daughter for the nation is, this tablet stands for air and wind, as I told you earlier, movement and dispersal, but also for charm. It represents a young girl, a young woman, or a child. This representation is grace, beauty, and ease, attraction, and pleasure. Your role is to bring harmony into the world around you and to create connections. Your freshness, innocence, and joy, divine, will make the situation develop. So we're looking for joy and divine in this situation because this is the feminine side of a young girl. And if our question was about love, if those of you are wondering anything about love in the situation, journeys and opportunities for new encounters and friendships are coming our way. Unless your feelings are too scattered or your faithfulness is put into the test. If you're a woman, you have numerous triumph cards. Your charm is undeniable. And if you are a man, there will soon be an encounter. Now, that is the reading for the nation, but I'd like to do one more reading because sometimes you take the better of the two, and hold tight as I do that. As I do another reading, I'm going to ask the Spirit to reveal to us the direction to take in addressing our President Obama and asking and soliciting for his help in this matter. This time I get the reading of the mother. And as I told you, the mother is considered the fertile earth, the home, protection. And the mother's tablet stands for the nurturing, fertile earth, family, life, and home. It represents a mature woman or a woman who is expecting a child. For the time being, you do not undertake anything or start anything new. Listen to the world around you and attend to details and protect those around you. People need you, your advice, and your time. Now is not the time to act, but to welcome the nourishment and the creation. And if the question was about love, it is not up to you, but to the other person to choose a direction or take a direction. You must follow rather than take the lead. For the moment to be patient, receptive, and malleable, soon your hope will be fulfilled. If you are a man, the oracle predicts that you will soon meet a mature woman or one who is older than you. If you are a woman, you can expect family happiness or the postponement of a birth. Now, I like to say that in all understanding that we are to stay put in our efforts to indict our president because he might be innocent, even though it appears all around him that he is working outside of the law for us. We never know the situation if the president can be held up in his own home, if his children could have already been indicted, and if his wife is working on probation. We never will know these answers until we go and confront the president and have a conversation with him. And based on the readings that I've got of these female genders, I know we've got to take a certain gentile approach to this matter. Just as I said, the tablet stands for nurturing, fertilizing the earth, family life, and home, and it represents a mature woman. I spoke to the effect last night that whatever happens in this situation, the women, the gender of the female spirit will have to come forward and not the male, because the males are the ones that they're hunting. The women are quite affluent in planning and laying down instructions because we have been the builders of the world and we have been the first doctors of the world. So we have our scalpels and we know how to sculpture and do it precisely. So the men are going to have to invite us in to help them with this negotiation because we're clever. And Obama is one that is affluent to the fact that his feminine side is definitely open to the woman. And I believe if we go in as a group of women to entertain his attention, to address the issues that our black boys are being murdered before our eyes, and that we are sick and tired, and we do not want anyone that doesn't have our best interest to come into our communities any longer. We only want those who have our interest that will protect and provide for our communities. And at this particular point, we cannot indict President Obama. We cannot withdraw our vote from him, and we cannot leave him standing out in the rain. Then we would be less of a person and a human being if we didn't see him for the fact that he is a black man. We keep saying that he is not for us and that he's not all black. None of us are all black, for that matter. But he cannot forsaken his own self. And I do believe that if we are giving him the opportunity to put the pressure on, to let him know that we are not going to continue on this path. If need be, we will jam things up. We have the authority to withhold our vote, and we have the authority to withhold our dollar bill. Fridays are to be Black Fridays. Withhold your money. Don't shop on those days in those establishments that you can shut down. If you can shut down a city, then you can shut down a whole nation. And don't tell me every city is different. Shop somewhere else. Keep your dollar in your pocket until this thing changes or blows over. Withhold your money. Don't go putting anybody's tires out or standing on any bridges because you're liable to get killed. There's a peaceful movement that has to take place. And the Spirit is saying here, you got to be wise when you make decisions to do these things. You cannot go out there and put your family and your children in jeopardy of being killed because you're doing something that you think is courageous. You cannot go out plugging out someone's tires and then going to jail to be tried for a felony. You have to be wise. Your dollar is your dollar. You don't have to spend it with anyone unless you decide to. Why do we give our money away so freely and think that we're obligated to circulate our money in someone else's community? Well, you don't have to. You have a right to withhold that dollar and to take every bit of your money out the bank. You have that right. And if we really want to shut a nation down, take your money out the bank. Hold on to it for a couple of months. So what if it don't draw that 5% interest? You'll shut a nation down and you'll get their attention. And that's what Brother Umar is suggesting, that we get the attention of the stakeholders and the establishments to be, to let them know we have some authority here. What do you think the Indians did when they wanted someone to look at their sovereignty plan? They weren't ready to listen to the Indians. They gave them a glass of rum and said, here's your glass of rum, go and get drunk. But the Indians soon realized that they were playing them, and they decided to get serious, and they wrote a sovereignty plan. So with all of our degrees and all of our credentials, how come we haven't written a sovereignty plan? How come we haven't said we want our sovereignty rights? And why haven't we intelligently said, I'm going to affluently use my intellect on the foes to be? Oh, no, we think that that's too much like right. Every one of the people that you're dealing with are waiting for you to rise up and be the people that you say you are. But you can't do that when you're around here marching, putting people's tires out, looting stores. They then feel like you are taking something from them, and they feel like they can move on you. Now, don't give the law a reason to move on you. They're already waiting to bring the tanks in our neighborhood. And we know they're ready because they've already started to bring them in. We're talking about an all-out civil war here. This is nothing to play with. I've been a part of war, and I know how they strategize. I had soldiers in my home fearing their life, talking about this might be their last supper that they're having with the group because they didn't know what was going to happen. 9/11 happened, and we had a code red, and we had to be informed how to act because at any time, they had sleepers in our neighborhood coming to our door. Yes, civilians are exposed to this. I guess you didn't know that. You thought only the active duty members, but the civilians are exposed to it too, Obama. And you need to know about it, and you need to treat us better than what you do. When we come home from the war and bring our families home, we should bring all of our belongings with us too. We shouldn't have to leave our belongings behind. And we shouldn't have colonels refusing to give us orders, leaving us on a base with sleepers and the enemy, and walking away as if we are not United States citizens. Yes, this happened to our family. I'm writing about it right now. The story is finally going to come out. We've got to be just to our so-called citizens who are a part of the Constitution. And you can't just take civilians and ask them to give their life up and go abroad to work for you and to teach for you, and then you come back and say they're not entitled to any benefits, schooling, for housing. We're just government workers. No, we're more than that. We're just like those active duty members who carry the DD-214, yet we have a DD-50, which say we have been assigned on government official orders just like them. Now, I have a bone to pick with the system because I don't believe they're treating the civilians the same way that they're treating the military active duty members. But they treat their families and extended loved ones better than they do the civilians who have to carry this thing on. We had to live with the Germans. We didn't have a choice that we can live in the safetyness of the military. We had to live out on the economy. Our lives were more in danger. Now, I'm a little upset today because I have furniture that's still sitting over there in the enemy's land, sitting there, and I can't access it, and no one will assist me to access it because it's not a government order, and I don't have proper paperwork. Well, then we need to bypass some of that paperwork. And, Obama, you got to address some of these things. And when I spoke to the prior president about it, I had to do a congressional order, the first congressional order that was put forth to get the orders in the first place, and they then go and let them expire. Well, that's a personal thing. I won't spend all my time talking about that. The reason I'm here today is that we need an audience with our President Obama. We need an audience with them like yesterday. We need an audience for the black women of the representatives that were civilians that went abroad, because there were eight of us who were not treated fairly after we did double time. We worked on detail jobs and worked 10-hour shifts to keep departments running, and then we were told we were going to be promoted and advanced, but when they brought in the non-Millenite people, they let them take over our jobs and dismissed us and left us jobless, penniless, which, in other words, they took our children out of school and they could not continue in school. So therefore, it was something like a genocide when you displace families. Yes, I know about a genocide, and I know about displacement of families when you come back here and your family needs medical attention, mental training, and counseling because of the disparity that has went on through you trying to stand up to represent your country. Now, we need an audience with you, Obama, and we need it right away because people are turning a deaf ear to voting, and they're not thinking about supporting a black man anymore. My heart is broken because once and for a lifetime, we get someone that we think is going to support us, and now everyone wants to turn against it. I was dead for you, and I got everyone together that needed to vote, and I supported those votes and getting the votes here in Indiana. But I have not been attended to, and neither has my family been. And people want to know, why am I so much for the administration for Obama when I suffered under the administration of Obama? Yes, my family has suffered, but I'm appealing to you now and your administration that you may address our issues and that we might not have to come together and band against the system because someone has forgotten about us as black people. It's very vital that every radio station right now should be discussing what is going on in our communities with our black boys being beaten down and brutalated and massacred to the point that they're being killed. This has to stop, and I know Obama's going to step up and do the right thing. I know in my heart you've got to step up and do the right thing. The black men are depending on you to do the right thing because we placed our hope in you, and you said, yes, we can. Can you say, yes, we can again, that we can turn around this problem in our community where we no longer have to have policemen beating the pace and looking for criminals, looking for low-hanging fruit? Can we manage our own communities and have peace in our community and don't have the fear of someone coming in to drag people out of their homes or to come in and kill a man when his hands are up? We need that, Obama. We need that so badly. And we know you can turn it around. And we're asking you, don't have people like great people like our minister, Umar, feel like he can't support you and feel like he can no longer encourage us to support you. I don't want us to become embittered with ourselves when things go wrong. I want us to come strong together and get an understanding. And with getting understanding, we get direction for ourselves. We're people that lack direction right now. And you are a faithful leader, Obama. You must guide us in the proper way to save lives so that a lot of lives and needless lives won't be lost through this war that is about to come. And the Spirit said if we don't turn it around, then we are definitely going to have a civil war on our streets. And the whole nation and the world will be looking at how we handle things. We cannot afford not to handle this with kid gloves. We've got to handle things better. We've got to. I'm a woman that has had the whole weight of the government upon my shoulder, and I shouldered it up. I shouldered it up, and I hoped that the new president would make things better. And I had hoped that the new president would give us a guided light. My hope is great for you, Obama, and I'm praying that you will not miss the mark, that you will rise up and be the man that we all anticipated that you would be. I don't like the conversations that go forward about the bougie people supporting you and how we have got to stand away from you, because I believe that this so-called bouginess, those people are not the ones that are for small masses of minorities. I'm for the masses of minorities, else I wouldn't be back here in Gary, Indiana. And I know that we can do better than what we've done. And I know that a change is going to come, Obama. You said a change was going to come. When will the change come? You said through Sam Cooke's song that a change is about to come. Yes, but we don't want death to visit our household. We don't want death to take our children. We want changes that will make men into great men. We want changes that will solidify mothers in their home and give them protection. We want changes to give us jobs and give us the humility and respect that we need, and to allow us to exercise the Constitution that we the people, in order to make a more perfect union, we the people, we want those things to ring at the mountaintop, and we want to be able to see them when they happen. We don't want this war to visit every black community, and that we will wage war and you fight a group of people that have no ammunition. Our weapons are not carnal through the pulling down of strongholds. We must meet you in the spirit. And when we meet you in the spirits will make intercession for us. And the spirits will give us the words to say. Now, we are not waging war here today. We're trying to find solutions. We're trying to find a way to prevent this war from going forward. We're trying to find a way that black men can be satisfied in their spirit and know that they're safe. And we're trying to find a way to deputize those black men and let them govern their own community and let them be men. Haven't we broken the black man down enough through putting him through special education, giving him such a special ed training that it was not fit for anything but a certificate of completion? It's a highway robbery, what is going on in the school system, giving these young black boys a counterfeit certificate so when they come out, it's not worth the paper that it was drawn on, and they can't go anywhere to anybody's institution and get a proper education. We got to turn things around for the black man today. And the black woman is here to see to it that things get turned around. Yes, we are the real warriors, and we will stand on the front line if need be. And we have solutions because we are the proper planners. And brothers, you're going to let the sisters work it out. You got to let the sisters work it out. Now, you took that million man down there to the White House before. We got nothing back for it. Everybody else got their pockets lined. Now it's time for you to allow the women to stand on the front line because we're going to work it out. And it's going to be to our liking. And if we got a black president, he's going to benefit us. And we won't be the last that he will address. And we won't be the ones who are still sitting on the sidelines saying, my things are still located overseas in Germany and I can't get any help. Yes, I'm angry about it because it shouldn't have never happened. When I committed to go abroad and to help my country, I thought my country was reasonably considerable, the country that I should give everything and possibly give my life for. Now I'm having second thoughts. We've got to be able to stand up and believe in our country again. And the only way we can do that is somebody has got to be fair with us. You got to come and visit the black community, and you got to give them hope, Obama, and you got to give them reassurance that you're working for them and you're on their side. They gave you everything they had. They gave you their vote. I watched these people give their vote, give their time, and we collectively marched over in the Hidden Lake and looked for people to sign up to vote. You got some workers here in Indiana that's willing to pull and tote that bell for you, but you can no longer continue to keep that support. If you won't, look over your shoulder, Obama, and look behind you, because you cannot create your future without looking back in your past. And we're your past, and we will echo out where you came from. We will make you remember where you came from and the promises that you made to us. Where are the things and the promises that you made? We're waiting for you to make good on them. We believe in you, and we honestly want to meet with you at the table. Now, this session here is for the benefit of the people to have hope. Now, I'm going to check with my phone lines here and see if there's anyone here that would like to say anything. Hello? Caller number 877, would you like to say anything? Are you just listening? Well, I believe caller number 877 is just listening. Let's see here. Caller number 877, are you just listening, or would you like to give any input?
No, like I said, I concur with what you had already said. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
And I just basically want to listen.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a special session because Brother Umar Johnson, who is one of my heroes and many heroes, he's a black psychiatrist, and if you go out and listen to his shows, and he speaks everywhere, and we want to support Brother Umar Johnson in his effort to start a new school, but what we want to support more so is that we need parent information centers all over the nation, and this is what I can offer to Brother Umar, an opportunity to train and develop those parent information centers with the knowledge and skill I have on school educational law, the 504 and Article 11 and the 94-142, so that we can arm our parents with the necessary tools that they need to make a decision as to whether or not they want to sign their children over to special ed. And if they are in special ed, how to get the proper services that they need. Now, we do know that these children that get SSI, they can matriculate and go off to college with a proper transitioning plan. And every child that's 14 years or older should have a transition plan from school to work or to college. And we want to employ those parents to set their children up to transition into college because Social Security is paying for it. A lot of parents don't know they have those rights. So as Brother Umar worked towards the psychological evaluation, we and other teachers can work towards training of the trainer and training the parents to be better advocates so that these young men can become self-advocates and they can advocate for themselves. But we have to make them informed about the conspiracy to destroy black boys and the conspiracy to destroy them at the level of special ed. And Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu said that there was a conspiracy. He even wrote about the conspiracy. And I opt to write about who were involved in the conspiracy, who were the two people. And as a college graduate at that particular time, I wrote about the effects that females have on African-American coupled with their culture. And I proclaim that there were two conspirators and conspiratee, and that the woman who is a school teacher, because of the 80% of the teachers in school, had to be the one that will make the referral to place the African-American male in special ed. And if we are those that are referring and making the indictment on these black boys, then the 80% of the black women should be doing something to help. And that means that we should be creating family life centers across the nation so that every state that has a population of overpopulation of black males in special ed, those parents can visit those parent information centers to get the proper guidance to help these boys so that they can matriculate outside of those special ed classes and go into the higher level institutions called colleges. That's right. With their special education and Social Security funds, their tuition is paid for, and we can make that happen. And that therein lies we would graduate more boys who have more than just a certificate. They will have a diploma and possibly college degree. Now, Brother Umar, I hope you listen to this segment and that you will see that we're not just about lip service. We're about doing something to retract this problem that we have with our black males. We've got to properly educate them so that they'll be suited to go into these institutions. And we've got to apprehend them while they're in special ed to make sure that they're not just putting classes to waste away, but they're given the basic foundation of the discipline so that they can pass the necessary Core 40. Now, because they're locked away in these special ed classes, they don't get an opportunity to take the Core 40, and they don't even get an opportunity to get the grammatical training in English so that they can write a basic sentence or a paragraph. So we have to do more in our centers by creating family life centers to give them supplemental help and therein lies where we can give them that extra help that they're not getting in school. We know that the special ed departments get an additional fee